Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and Jonathan Goldman, who is going to be with me today, had called me at the first part of the week. An emergency came up and he was not able to make the interview, but he's going to be rescheduled for next month. So be sure and check the listing. So today we're going to have an open mic hour. That means at any time during this hour, you'll be able to call in and chat with me, and the telephone number, if you would like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. Again, because Jonathan was not able to make the show today, I decided to keep it as an open mic. So if you want to call in and chat, this is a great time to do it because we have the whole hour for you to call in and let me tell you what I perceive. I wanted to start off the show with a thoughtful story, and it's about a blacksmith. A blacksmith is working at his forge. He is building certain parts for a ship. And one of those items that he is building is a chain. Now, this is a chain that, if you've ever seen a ship's chain, it's quite sizable, and it's supposed to hold an anchor. Now, this blacksmith works very, very diligently. He's very thorough about everything he does. Every single link on that chain he makes sure is made of the best metal possible, and every single link in that chain is welded very, very thoroughly. Now, that's not the end of the story. There's another point to the story. Years go by. The ship is around. The blacksmith eventually dies. Nobody's going to think about him. Nobody's even going to remember him. But the ship, whose chain he made many years before, is in a storm. The captain orders that the anchor be thrown out. The storm is fiercely violent. The vessel is in tremendous danger. And everyone on board knows that if the chain does not hold, if the anchor isn't able to keep the ship well situated, they're not going to make it. Eventually, the storm passes, and everybody's very grateful for having survived a very, very difficult time. Now, who would you say is the hero of the story? It's the forgotten blacksmith. The person that had so much pride and was really determined to give the very best and didn't try to cut corners. This is something that so frequently you will find. People will say, oh, it's not necessary to do things with an attitude or action of excellence. And that's not true. I can remember watching a program about a particular airline, and there was a union that went on strike. Well, the strike, for whatever reason, went on, and some of the mechanics decided that they were not going to make sure that the engines of the planes were in top-notch condition. Now, remember, these were individuals. They made choices. A plane goes up. A skilled pilot happened to be at the control, and their engines die. They were able to get that plane back to the field. And it was upon investigation they found out who the mechanics were, who had not done the work as they were supposed to have done. obviously they were fired. But they had jeopardized the lives of many passengers. How many times have people said, oh, Jeebus, don't put in that extra time. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Remember, whether or not, just like that blacksmith, you ever achieve fame or fortune, that isn't it. If you do your job and if you perform at that level of excellence, you will know that whoever is dependent on you for whatever it is that you do, they're going to get the best. They're going to get the very, very best of what you have, and you'll take responsibility for it. I've had a number of people just recently talk to me and say how discouraged they have been over the fact that so many individuals don't want to take responsibility for their lives. That is something, if you really want to be empowered as a person, that's what you need to do. Take responsibility for what you do. Make a reputation of such a nature that people, if they say, this is a person you can depend upon, you are going to live up to that expectation. I've got a story to share with you later on in this hour about a man who achieved a dream from Africa, a dream that he never thought was possible because of having standards like that. They were enforced by his dad. And I think it's a great story, so I'll be sharing it with you later on. But I wanted to just share that little bit of thought with you today, because we never know the difference we're going to make. I had an experience once, this was a few years ago. My automobile, I was dating a fellow and I needed to have some work done on it. And this guy said, oh, I've got this friend who's a mechanic. And he said, he's just the greatest, we'll go over there and we'll have it done. Well, I went and I had the work done, get in the car, drive the car away from the facility. The next thing I know, there's a wheel that's off of my vehicle. Fortunately, I'd been at a stop sign and I was starting to pull away and the wheel just goes right off the car. This man was mortified. He had forgotten to tighten the nuts on the wheel. So as soon as the wheel started moving, naturally it's going to go off. Well, this was a man that just was horrified because he said, you could have had a terrible accident. And he felt so badly about what he did, what happened to me. But there was no harm done, but there could have been. And he really took responsibility for the whole thing. No excuses, nothing. He said, that's why this happened. How many times do people do that? I think it's important that we do. Owe up to what we do right and even what we do wrong. Donna Sebo here. This is an open mic hour. If you'd like to chat with me, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. Jonathan Goldman, who is going to be on the air with me today, he is having to be someplace else. Consequently, we've rescheduled him for next month. So you'll need to check the schedule to find out about what's going on there. Well, I wanted to share a little bit of gypsy magic with you. Yes. And I had a guest, Raymond Buckland, and he had something wonderful. I don't know about you, but are you outside working in the garden? I am. And boy, did I find after being out in the garden with the heat of the day, my eyes got so dry. Well, I remembered that there was this recipe that Raymond said that his grandmother had used, and he said it's an old Buckland gypsy recipe, and I'll share it with you because it's so economical to fix. If you want to rinse your eyes out, if you're outside working like I have been, and you find that dust and grit get into your eyes and you want to refresh it, and you can do it really quickly. And he said, this is the recipe. You simmer a teaspoon of fennel seed in a cup of water until the liquid turns golden. That's right. Fennel seed, a teaspoon, in a cup of water until the liquid, you simmer it until it turns golden. Remove from the heat, allow it to cool, and then strain it. He said the remaining liquid makes an eye wash, which is terrific for your tired eyes, your dusty eyes, And I know maybe some of you wear safety goggles. I don't always do that because I have to wear glasses anyway. So I don't have safety goggles. They drive me nuts because I do have to wear glasses. But I just thought I'd share that with you. And if you're a gardener, it is going to do absolute wonders for you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, I know how important it is and the environment to take care of things, to really be aware of what you're doing. So I wanted to share some information that I had come across with you because weather is changing in so many different areas. Even here in the state of Washington, where we usually have gobs and gobs of water, sometimes we have drought conditions. Not very often, but it does happen. And here in the Pacific Northwest, even though we have such an abundance of water, we have been encouraged for a lot of years to use those plants that are indigenous to the area and also to look at things that we can bring into our gardens and into our environments that are going to be needing less water than normal. And when you think about the population growth and development, maybe 20 years ago it wasn't such a big deal. Well, the more people we have concentrated in any area, the more water that is going to be needed. So drought-tolerant grasses like sheep fescue, buffalo grass, and blue grama are available from seed suppliers. Now, there is a new seed that has been put out by Turf Builder. And in this, they use a coconut fiber to yield 50% thicker grass with half the water. I hadn't heard about this. Now, this is what that's what the company claims. Now, they say one of the most promising new grass seeds is called Ecolon. It's from Canada. It doesn't require any fertilization and can be planted with the grass you already have. You know, grass is one of the biggest users of water. Absolutely incredible amount. And now something that's really hot for a lot of people is what they call faux grass, and it looks like blue carpet juniper. I mean, it really just doesn't require much water at all, very little tending. Artificial turf, you know, that's been around for a while. There's a canine grass from Forever Lawn in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that has a porous backing for rain and dog urine. Well, I wonder how it does with dog poop. I have two dogs. I don't know. But they say there have been some health concerns over lead levels in fake turf because they're made from recycled tires. And the fake turf has a tendency to retain heat. Now, get this. The fake turf can get up to 60 degrees hotter than real grass. You sure wouldn't want that in Arizona. And think about the ecological impact there, because any worms that might be in your environment, it's going to kill them off pretty fast. So Scottsdale, Arizona, they're excited about the faux grass. I wouldn't be necessarily excited, but they are. Now, soil. It's very important we take care of the soil. It's very important that we get excited about composting. And if you have a local sewage treatment facility like we have in Washington, they go through the processing and they offer a compost. My goodness, I think I got 200 pounds of compost for like $10. It was unbelievably inexpensive. I was just amazed. But there's this compost that you can get, and your city may provide it for you. You want to check to make sure that it doesn't have heavy amounts of lead or anything like that in it. But it is just wonderful, very inexpensive, and if you're on a budget, you can keep your gardens lush and rich with healthy compost if you don't have space to do that in, but it's great for the gardens, and they just absolutely love it. Now, organic landscapers are advocating composting with lawn or kitchen scraps, and, you know, you use your grass clippings or just anything, dog poop, whatever you've got, and Harvard eliminated chemical treatment on 25 acres of its greens, and now it relies only on basic soil health techniques using natural mulch and the compost tea, as they call it, that's brewed in giant vats on the campus. Reminds me of the Chinese. For centuries, they had huge vats that they would have locate in different areas around farmlands. And they knew centuries ago to put all waste material in there, urine, everything, and they would just allow it to do its fermentation process, go through its breakdown, because you have all the microbes that are in there, and then they'd use that to fertilize their fields. It worked for thousands of years. Now, on Harvard, in 1 year, they composted and recycled 500 tons. I know your lawn isn't that big, but 500 tons of grass clippings. They used pruned branches. I'm sure they chipped them. And leaves for mulch. They saved 2 million gallons of water and $35,000 in disposal costs. We're getting wiser. We are really getting a lot smarter. And so many people are coming up with such innovative ideas. And Paul Tukey said, in general, chemicals in the United States are innocent until proven guilty, while in Canada and the European Union, chemicals have to be considered safe first. I wonder what it's going to take for us to reverse that. Think about pharmaceuticals, too. That is included. Anything that is man-made, chemically produced is something we need to be aware of. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you listening in the state of Washington, don't forget, we have got a fabulous event that is coming up. If you're out of state and you love Renaissance fairs, then you're not going to want to miss the one that's coming up here. It's being held in Buckley at the Maris Farms. Go to my website, check out my newsletters, find out all of the information. But what I want you to know about is that we have got free tickets. So if you would like a free ticket to this wonderful event, it's the first 3 weekends in August. Then give me a call at my office, and my office number is 800-872-8852. Or what you can do is send me an email, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And then put in there free ticket to Ren Faire. And send me your contact information, and I'll pop it off in the mail to you. Now, I have these family passes, so it's 2 adults and 2 children. So if you wanted to go and take a friend, this is an opportunity to have a free ticket to this magnificent event that's the first 3 weekends in August. So do call me or email me. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to share some information with you about, what have I got here? I have got this information on the rover. Yes, that one that went to Mars, you know, the in January of 2004. Well, do you know that machine has discovered layered bedrock, rippled sediment, and minerals that form only in the presence of water? They have found traces on Mars of ancient seas, hot springs, and volcanic steam vents. They say life could have existed on the planet. Also, Rover said that Mars used to be a lot warmer and a lot like Earth at some time. And you know what? It's going to enable us, all of this information, to one day get us into outer space. When I think of Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek, this man had such a vision. When did Star Trek start? I think it was back in the 60s. Incredible vision. His writers, it's just amazing. I think of Arthur C. Clarke, who was the number one science fiction writer. He died just a few years ago. He was in his 90s. These are people that had tremendous vision about what is going to be evolving. Now, lots of times people will say, why bother with outer space? Well, I'll tell you what. Every time they do something like this, there's a benefit to us on so many different levels. It is amazing how, through the process of scientific discovery and development, we are able to enjoy a better way of life. There are so many things that have evolved from the research and science that it took for us to get into space travel to begin with, and it's not stopping. Personally, I'm looking forward to the time when I have a chance to travel in outer space. I think that would be absolutely awesome. Of course, I think the budget's going to have to be a bit bigger because at the current prices, I think it's $1 million or $2 million or something like this. Maybe one of you knows more of what the latest ticket price has been to go into space travel or into outer space because private companies are getting involved. They have been off and on for a number of years, but they're saying, let's do it. Why? Because it's like anything else. It's there. And the Hubble telescope has just made us so aware of the magnificence of what is around us, and we're just an itsy-bitsy speck in this magnificent universe that is totally mind-boggling. I think it's exciting. If you have kids, get them excited about science and mathematics and reading and encouraging them to be interested in different things. It's marvelous. It is really marvelous. What goes around comes around, and it enables us to grow and expand in our thinking, and I think it's terrific. Speaking of growing and expanding and thinking, what if you were diagnosed with MS? What if you had a verdict given to you that said you're not going to be able to do much of anything because you have a disease? Well, that is what happened to a young woman who's a mountaineer. Her name is Lori Schneider. And I was so impressed with her story that I thought I would share it with you. As a mountaineer, she's had to face fear on more than one level. She said there was one ridge at one time she was crossing. There was an 8,000-foot drop on both sides of her. Now, this is a woman in her 50s. She was climbing Mount Everest. She said the wind was blowing at 60 miles an hour, and if ever there was a moment to panic, that was it. But she didn't. She, an hour later, reached the peak of Everest. She said it was the last step in a personal challenge to scale the highest mountain on all 7 continents. 53 years old. 10 years earlier, she had had to deal with a different type of fear. Her whole right side of her body went numb. She learned, after being thoroughly tested and examined, that she had multiple sclerosis. And she said, I just ran. I ran away from my marriage. I ran away from my work. I ran away from life. She was totally terrified. Now, at that time, she was 43 years old. She said it was just before climbing a mountain in South America in the year 2000 that she decided she was going to set her sights on the 7 summits. Now, how she prepared herself for this was that she would started hauling 50-pound bags of dog food up the ski slopes near Bayfield, Wisconsin, which is where she lived. Can you imagine carrying 50 pounds of dog food on your back? She did that. That's how she trained. Well, she climbed and conquered Europe's Mount Elbrus in 2002, North America's Mount McKinley in 2006, Australia's Mountain, and Antarctica's Vinson Massif in 2008. She went to Kilimanjaro in 93, and she said the last mountain was Everest. And she said, I found myself standing on a ridge at 28,800 feet up. One of the disciplines that she created for herself. She said, when I was training, I told myself to take one step at a time by spelling out words. So I would spell out, don't let fear in. She was mindfully attentive to what she was spelling, and she was doing one step at a time. That's how she got to the top of the mountain. She didn't look at the top and say, I wonder if I'm going to be able to make it. She just put one foot in front of the other. Now, she is the very first person, Lori is, with multiple sclerosis to conquer the seven summits. She said what climbing has done for her is she's learned about courage. She said she learned that she had to face her problems and move forward. Do you know what? Her MS is stable. She did not let the disease conquer her. She's planning, by the way, a return to Kilimanjaro in 2011. And there's going to be 15 other people joining her. They all have MS. What an accomplishment. So if you're feeling like in your life that you have just had a lot of stinking situations and maybe you're going through a pity pot time, hey, give it up. I think Lori is a tremendous example of what we can do when we're willing to take one step at a time. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Quick like a bunny, I do know we have a caller. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with two fascinating individuals, Pam Puree and Mike Beakley. He's known, his nickname is Darkside. He's known as Darkside. Wow, this was a book when I got it. I just was amazed. Betrayal, Murder, and Greed. It sounds like a dime store novel. It is anything but that. We're going to be talking about bail bondsmen and bounty hunters. That's right. It's going to be a fascinating show. So be sure and tell your friends, and I hope you will join us. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Mary Ellen from Sylmar, California.
Hi, Mary Ellen. Where are you in California?
Sylmar. North Valley, North San Fernando Valley.
Ah. Boy, I bet
yes.
Oh, yes. It's just a wonderful area. Bet you're cooking, though, aren't you?
No, not this week. We will be next week.
Well, I think the sun god finally decided to catch up with us because we've got sun.
So.
We're hitting 90 tomorrow, and that just blows me away. We never get 90. Maybe once on one day out of a year,
jeez.
But it's coming in slowly but surely. Okay,
we're supposed to get it by the weekend, so.
Ooh, well, it's going to be toasty, but that's all right. It's summertime. That's what it's all about. All right,
yes,
Mary Ellen.
Exactly.
Yes, let's get down to business with you. There's a little bit of a time delay, dear. I'm noticing that, so excuse me for talking over you. Mary Ellen, the first thing that I'm looking at here is a financial transaction. Apparently, you're going to be doing some negotiating or determining where you want a chunk of money to go. So I don't know if this is dealing with a piece of property, if this is an automobile, if it's remodeling a home. I have no idea what this is about. But you are going to be shopping around. You're going to be very, very thorough. And I would say whatever this is related to, you really need to be sure that you have a good warranty. Do not assume that people are just going to honor whatever they talk about. You've got to make sure you have it in writing. Because whatever this is related to, there is some kind of a challenge that may come up, I think within the first 6 to 9 months. And if you have everything in writing, you'll be fine. If you don't, you'll get it resolved, but it'll take you 10 times longer. So just make sure you have everything in writing. Also, what I'm looking at, I'm seeing you walking around your residence, and there's something that you're aware of that you know needs to be repaired. I want to say you're exactly correct. If you're wise, you will make out a checklist and make sure that one item is not linked to something else. And when you're ready to have the work done in the residence, you want to be sure that you're very thorough about the process and how it will be taken care of, because you're going to have more than one item that needs to be looked at. If you're thorough, you will have no regrets. You're going to find that you'll have your little checklist, and you'll just go ding, 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 and it'll all be done in order and efficiently. If you don't, it's going to end up costing you more money. So be thorough. You will not regret it. It looks like a lot of things with money, just repairs, things that need to be taken care of, whether it's with the home, with the car, with your teeth, whatever it is. This is a year, this year and next year, you're going to find a lot of expenditures that, in my view, are practical. They're not frivolous. This is something you're thinking about and you know you need to take care of. What's your question for me today?
Where do I find more money?
Well, let's see. Actually, I am looking at you do it. You're very good at budgeting. And as long as you know what you have to work with, you will budget it out. And like I said, being very efficient, you want to make sure that you are doing it. But I am looking at you having an opportunity to work with some women. And it's as if they need someone on a part-time basis, and that suits you fine because you don't want it full-time, whatever this is. But you are going to find that there's a meeting, some group that you're going to be having a chance to interact with, and they're going to be saying, I wish I had such and such. You're going to say, I could do it part-time. This is my background. This is what I do. I'd be happy to help you out, and this is what I would charge per hour. And they'll take you on. So I don't know what your background is, but I think you have an opportunity to generate some cash. And it'll come because you are interacting with other people and letting them know that if they need some help, you're there.
Great.
But again, it's not full-time, it's part-time. But that works perfectly for you because I don't see you really wanting to do whatever they would want your assistance with full-time.
You're absolutely right.
Well, you enjoy your warm days of summer down there in California.
I certainly will, and I hope you cool down soon.
Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, we always know that it is either raining or it's going to rain. And once in a while, we get some sunshine, and it allows the brain moss to dry out so we can become like other people for a little while. And then we have to put on our web feet all over again. So we take it when we can get it.
You bet. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all your help.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Mary Ellen. You have a fabulous summer now.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. And also, if you have had a paranormal experience, now that can be a dream that came true, anything that for you had a tremendous impact, I'd love to hear your story. Now, you may want to know why, and that's because I'm putting together a book. I'm putting together 100 stories from people about their personal experiences. And I've gotten so many wonderful stories, and I would love to have yours. Now, I'm setting the goal for by the end of this year. So please don't procrastinate. Please send your story to me, and I also want your contact information. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And then just say, story for Donna's book. Put something like that in the subject line. You know, I have to chuckle because I was talking with a business associate this morning, and she said, I get about 500 emails a day. She said, how in the world do I She was getting so excited. She said, I have to go through all these emails. Now, I know if you're like me, you do get a lot of emails, and it's sort of intimidating because you'll say, oh, my goodness, how in the world am I going to get through all of this? Well, many times we're getting all kinds of stuff. Don't ask me how people find out about your emails, but they do, your email addresses. And so you can just delete what you don't want. And I have gotten to the point where there's a lot of things that I can delete quickly. But it really is amazing how many messages that you want to respond to, and it all takes time. So I try to block out a certain amount of time when I can get to it and go through it fairly quickly, and I'm a quick typist, so I'm able to respond. But one of the things that really can be very, frustrating. You send an email to someone, and they have something in a subject line, and they use, you know, they're returning the email to you, but they don't change what's in the subject line. And what I find that I have to do, if that email is important to me, I have to go in and change that subject line topic so I can go back and identify what is relating to what. So when you send me the email, be sure you say story for Donna's book or the equivalent thereof, because I'd love to hear from you. And then that way I'll recognize it, and it'll be just terrific. Don't just put story, put Donna's book or story for Donna's book, something like that, and that way I'll be able to identify it. Telephone number to call into if you would like to chat with me today is 888-815-9756, and all I need is your first name or initial. That's right. Oh, hey, I have got a recipe for a stacked quesadilla torta. Now, I don't know about you, but quesadillas I dearly love. There's a restaurant I just thoroughly enjoy going to. I'll get their quesadilla appetizer because it's enough to serve 3 people. And I will share it with everybody at the table, but it's so good. Well, when I saw this one, I thought, this is so simple. This is so easy. And you can adapt it in any way that you want, but it allows you to have something that's really fun to serve, especially at a party. And if you don't, you know, if you're not having a great big party, if you're having a bigger party, then you're going to want to fix more of it. But it's really something that is fun. And you bring it out and you slice it up, and it's really great. So I'm going to have that recipe for you in just a little bit. But before we go on break, and by the way, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. You know, Mary Ellen mentioned, she said, gee, how do I get more money? sometimes we deal with money issues and, you know, we have credit card debt, we've got other things that we're dealing with, and we'll look at a goal and we'll say, how in the world can we ever accomplish it? Well, homes, let's look at that. Part of the American dream. Well, you are going to find there are many, many things that you can do. If you're a first-time buyer, there's an FHA home purchase loan program, and the down payment is as low as 3.5%. You can go to FHA.com for information if that's something. The Department of Agriculture for moderate to lower-income buyer has a program that encourages folks to buy in less populated areas. Now, here's a website you can go to. rurdev.usda.gov, rurdev.usda.gov. Also, because these are such tough economic times, there are many homes that are in foreclosure. So you can do a foreclosure, short sales, and it can save you 5 to 70%. But you do need to be alert. And if you have some friends that are in real estate, they might even be able to give you a thumbs up or get to know your local banker. These banks do not want to have these homes. They don't want to carry them. They are really a burden. So they're often willing to assist you. A fixer-upper? Well, that can be a problem. However, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's HUD 203K program can help you if you want to go that route, by allowing you to purchase or refinance a property and include in the loan the cost of making the repairs and improvements. And the loan is provided through approved lenders. Now you go to hud.gov/offices/AHSG/SFH. And you go forward from there. But contact them. There's so many different ways that you can do things. And saving money, if you want to retire, have money in your pocket, start paying a little bit extra on your principal against your home. Contrary to popular opinions, it is really a good idea. When you are mature, if you don't have a house payment to contend with, you're going to have a few thousand dollars in your pocket extra. And you can save on taxes. There's all kinds of financial plans. It is educating yourself. That's right. Educating yourself about what you need to do for you. You can save if you want to save. And boy, if you are like a friend of mine who's got a son that's planning, he's, my goodness, he's only a sophomore in high school and he's already looking at scholarships for college, and college is just going to be astronomically expensive. So the scholarships are really going to help. But there are programs that you can work with where you can set money aside on a regular basis. Regrettably, our compound interest isn't as high as maybe we'd like it to be, but there is that consistency of saving dollars that will enable you to put your kids through college. So with money, it's like with anything else. What are your priorities? And be inventive. Be creative. It's okay. You can come up with all kinds of innovative ways to have fun, to be able to do different things. I've got a guest that's going to be coming up during the month of August. We're going to be talking about bankruptcy. And one part of her story was that she and her husband, who had astronomical bills, decided they were going to go to Mexico for a vacation and ended up spending a few thousand dollars that they shouldn't have spent, but they did. And she said, in hindsight, we had been working so hard, we thought, gee, this is an entitlement for us. But she said, we paid through the nose. They ended up going bankrupt. So it's something that we have to think things through, but there's a lot of things you can do that do not have to cost you a small fortune. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, we can chat during this open mic hour at 888-815-9756. If you'd like to do that, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Marist Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reigned. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, are you ready? Have you got your pen and paper in hand? Here is your stacked quesadilla tort. Now, this is a real neat dish. And what's fun when you bring it out of the oven. And I know it's, you know, when it's warm, you don't often think you want to have something out of the oven, but this is an easy, easy recipe. You're going to need 1.5 pounds of beef or turkey. Now, I prefer beef that's shredded, but you can use ground beef if you want, or ground turkey. But I like shredded meat myself over the ground. It's just me. So you can do it either way. You're going to need about 1 teaspoon of salt. You're going to need 2 cans, 10 ounces each, of red enchilada sauce. You're going to need 1 cup of salsa, and then you need 8 9- to 10-inch flour or wheat tortillas. And you know they have, as if it really matters, they have the no-fat tortillas, the whole, you know, the whole grain. They do all kinds of things with tortillas today. Then you're going to need 2 cups of fresh or frozen corn kernels, 1/2 cup of fresh chopped cilantro. This makes all the difference in the world. Don't use dried. Use fresh. Then you need 2 cans, 14 ounces each, of black or pinto beans, and you want to rinse them. You want to drain them and rinse them. And then if you like, have also 1 cup of thinly sliced green onions, and you need about 1/2 pound of Monterey Jack cheese shredded, about 1/2 pound of cheddar cheese shredded, and I'd recommend the extra sharp, personal bias, of course. And, of course, you're always going to want to have extra cheese. No bones about it. I also would recommend a little bit of sour cream on the side. Now, this is all you need to do. You need to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Now, your beef, you want to brown it in a skillet. And if you're going to use ground beef, if you're using lean, that's fine. If you have shredded beef, like maybe a pot roast or something like that that you want to utilize, you know, this really is a good recipe for any leftover meat you have. You could shred pork, you could do it with chicken, with turkey. So it's a good way to use leftovers. That's a Donna item. And anyway, then what you're going to do, add your little bit of salt in with your beef, and then you want to take your enchilada sauce, and your salsa. Your enchilada sauce and your salsa, and you want to mix that together. That takes you all of about 5 seconds to do. Now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take a 10-inch springform pan, and you want to spray it with nonstick cooking spray. If you're someone that says, gee whiz, I fixed cheesecakes in here, I don't know that I want to fix this inside my springform pan, great, then line it with foil. It's okay. Well, however you want to do it. But spray it well. You're going to put 1 tortilla in the pan, and then you want to take some of the cooked meat, your corn, your cilantro, your salsa mixture, your beans, your onion, and the cheeses. You want to just layer it there. And then you keep layering it. That's right, you're going to use up all 8 of those tortillas. And if you're like me, you're going to add a little bit extra here, a little bit extra there. But remember, you're just going to repeat the layering. Now, you want to end with the tortilla on the top. Now, you'll bake it for 30 to 40 minutes, and that'll cook it all the way through. When you remove it from the oven, let it stand for about 5 minutes. Then, after that 5 minutes, you can remove the pan side and set it on a plate. And, of course, you can garnish it with cheese and onion. And it's so much fun when you present it because it's just awesome. And then you're going to want to cut it with a very sharp knife, obviously, into wedges. Now, there is another option if you really like spice. Remember, this is a recipe you can play with. You can have so much fun with it. You can use sausage. You can use chorizo if you want. You can mix your meats however you want to do it. It is so much fun to serve. And if you have a nice salad, and you've just got a full meal here. It's just absolutely wonderful. If you've got a good size oven, and if you have two springform pans and you're going to have healthy appetites, I'd recommend you fix two, put them in the oven at the same time, and I think you're just going to wow everybody. It's just going to be absolutely marvelous. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with a real-life bounty hunter and a bail bonds woman. We're going to be talking about betrayal, murder, and greed. This is not a novel, ladies and gentlemen. This is the real thing. So we're going to be talking with Pam and Mike tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to close out the week with John Paul Thornton. This is a very fine young man, artistically very talented. He's put together material about art and courage. He's dealt with young people, and he's used art as a way of communicating and helping those that maybe can't see that there is a way out of their dilemma. It's wonderful, it's powerful, and it's just a wonderful show that I'm looking forward to doing. So we've got two great guests coming up for the rest of this week, and wherever you are, I hope you're having an absolutely magnificent time. Now, before we close out, I have a story for you. Yes, I do. This is about something that happened a long time ago. Synchronicity, coincidence, makes you wonder. It's called The King and the Cook. Now, this was at the very beginning. It was the year that my grandmother was born, the year 1900, July the 28th. And there was a small Italian town named Monza. And there were a series of coincidences that was affecting the life of the King Umberto I of Italy and the owner of a little restaurant also named Umberto. That's right. Both had the same name. Now, he arrived, the king did, late one evening in order to preside over an athletic meet that was happening the next day. So the king and his aide went for dinner. Now, they were very much surprised when they went into the restaurant to observe that the king and the restaurant padrone were twins in face and in build. These two men began talking, the king and the cook. They both had been born on March 14th, 1844. Both had been born in the town of Turin. Both were married to women named Margherita. Both had sons they had named Vittoria. Both the king and the cook had been decorated for bravery at the same time in 1866 and again in 1870 when they were both promoted. The king was astonished. Went back into the kitchen to take care of business. And the king turned to his aide and he said, "I intend to make that man a cavalier of the crown of Italy tomorrow." Now, I want you to be sure that he's at the athletic meet. The next day, while at the meet, King inquired about the whereabouts of his double, and he was told that the man had died earlier that day in a shooting accident. The king was shocked. He asked his aide to find out when the funeral was so that he could attend. At that moment, three shots rang out, and assassin's bullets pierced the king's heart. He died. Amazing, wouldn't you say? This is Donna. On that note, I'll close out the show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. So glad you could join me. Tomorrow, we'll find out a lot we never knew anything about regarding bounty hunters and bail bondsmen. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.